talking about last night's In Touch Credit Union great game of baseball, which was won by Texas Land and Cattle Team Musers, defeating Bud Light Team Hardline 12-3 in an outstanding all-around effort by this team. Now, in the next segment, we're going to spin the mustache wheel. That was the bet last night, so the losing Team Hardline has to wear a mustache starting now and finishing up at Summer Bash. For the next 5 or 6 weeks, they'll be sporting mustaches. So we'll talk about which styles will be on the wheel and which styles each of those guys will have to wear as we spin the wheel coming up here in about 20 minutes. But to the game itself, for 1 year, I've been stewing about what happened last year at the great game when Team Musers got off to a great start, and then Team Hardline brought in a major league pitcher to shut us down for 3 innings while they clawed their way back. And it ended in a 20-20 tie, and I was so bitter, and I couldn't wait for this year's game.
So what did we do? We spent the entire offseason retooling our team.
Yep.
Concentrating on the draft.
Scouting.
Scouting, making sure we had players properly evaluated, and we absolutely smoked them on draft night.
And just to accentuate how mad Junior was last year, by the time I made it to the clubhouse, he was showered, dressed, and out of the locker room already. He was gone so fast.
And that bitterness stayed with me for 364 days. And then yesterday, I was so excited to take the field, and I felt good about our team. But on draft night, they won the coin toss,
right.
So they had the number one pick. And with that number one pick, they chose Dan McDowell.
Ooh.
So Dan McDowell was their starting pitcher last night, and he was the chief trash talker all week long. And that's what else got me really bitter, not only last year's result, but listening to Dan and Corby and Mike, the three chief trash talkers all week, just letting us have it.
Calling us babies? We're the Courage Boys. We're not babies.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Calling us every name in the book. And it was a constant wine fest from noon to 7. So now I'm really wanting to win this game. So Dan, the number one pick, goes out there last night, and we light him up.
He was the Jamarcus Russell of our draft.
He was.
He kind of lit himself up, too.
Yeah.
By not getting the ball over the plate. Mm.
Gordon,
sometimes not getting it within 8 feet of the plate.
Yeah, the vicinity.
Gordon, what was your first at bat
My first at bat, I walked. He walked me. And three of the balls went behind me. I mean, and they were so far behind me, I didn't have to move or flinch.
I know. And when I got up, he threw behind me. I batted after you. And I told the ump, hey, what's he doing? He just threw behind me. He said, well, he did that three times just a minute ago. I don't think he's trying to send you a sort of message.
What?
No, there was no message.
Uh-uh.
No one had enough control to send any sort of message.
What happened to Dan McDowell? We scored 5 in the first and 5 in the second. We got a 10-0 lead off of him.
Players get up in their 30s and into their 40s. They hit a wall sometimes. Maybe he hit his wall this offseason.
Was it the pressure of being the number one draft pick and the expectations?
Was it karma?
Maybe karma.
Bad mouthing the Musers, so his former teammates, guys, you know, he was in our room just last year.
Yeah.
Perhaps Jesus got involved in this a little bit.
Maybe.
I think Jesus did get involved. And all of the bad karma from last year, from the way Team Hardline just perpetrated a crime in that game to salvage a tie, to all the trash talking this week. Well, so we get off to that 10-0 lead, and our pitching was sensational.
Stellar.
Our top draft pick, Sean Bass, turned out to be the MVP of the game last night. He goes 3 innings, strong innings, allows just 3 runs. And then Eric Hood came in. He was our second overall draft pick. And he shut the hardliners out for the final 3 innings. And Eric was throwing curveballs. And Mike Saroy's in here, our catcher and MVP from last year's game. And a 3-year member of Team Musers, our cleanup hitter from last night. You were sensational again.
Thank you.
Talk about those two pitchers, Sean and Eric.
Dude, unbelievable. Honestly, we had such a pitching advantage the whole night. Sean Bass got us off to a good start. But Eric Hood, I swear, has got to be as good as some college pitchers in this town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we only did two pitches, fastball, curve. And how about the first warm-up pitch he uncorked?
He over the back of the press box.
It almost went over the net behind home plate. I thought he was joking.
And I looked at someone in the dugout and went, uh-oh.
Did his last warm-up pitch go to the screen, too?
Yeah, he had two of them that went way high.
Because then I walked up there to the mound just to talk to him for a second, and he turns around and goes, man, I am so nervous. And I'm like, dude.
It was either a perfect mound or over the net, yeah. But he was throwing these curveballs that I couldn't catch. Honestly, I knew they were coming. I'd call them, and I don't know how to catch a curveball. So, I mean, I see the thing, it bites, and I'm just trying to kind of jump to my right a little bit, figuring it's just going to move.
And they were all breaking into the strike zone.
Beautiful. Beautiful pitches. And actually, credit to Tom Gribble. He put a great bat on one of the best curveballs that Eric threw.
Mm-hmm.
It snapped off, fell off the table, and he, I mean, I think he grounded out to the vacuum at second base we had out there.
Yes, Rich Phillips, the vacuum.
But, yeah, what's those up? Guys were unbelievable.
I'd like to call Eric Hood second-round value.
yes.
He's
a trash player.
Best player in the game, and we got him in the second round.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You're right. The game was won on draft night.
And we got him at the very end of the second round, by the way.
That's right.
Late second round pick.
They took one guy ahead of him in the second round. Come on.
We got Donnie in the third round.
Donnie was great.
Very solid last night. Speed on the base pads, scoring from second. Which is a hard thing to do in this game, scoring from second for anybody.
So Mike was great. Donnie was great. Sean and Eric were great.
Elf at first was really good. Very solid. Caught everything that was thrown at him.
Yep. And he was fired up. He's been thinking about this game all year long, too. And he did something really cool. He went to a sporting goods store before the game and bought a bunch of softballs. And he brought them in because softballs are bigger so you can fit more signatures. And he had all of Team Musers sign each softball. And then between innings, every once in a while, he would throw them up into the crowd.
Yeah.
That is how not only we won the game, but how we super served the P1 last night.
That's right.
We cared about the P1s
in our
dugout. Yeah.
Win the game, win their hearts.
All of the role players did really well last night. The guys who didn't get to start but eventually came in the outfield, Jake and Matt. Matt McLaren had a throw to the plate.
I thought we had him, I thought we had Ty Walker lumbering toward home, but the ball actually hit Ty right in the side. Otherwise, I think we would have got him.
Yeah. Matt McLaren, fourth-round value. This is where you make a draft. Fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, and this is where we got him.
Thanks to Cactus, who got to play a little second. He was my assistant manager last night. He did a great job of policing the batting order and all of that. Irwin and Dave also contributed. And the core four, me, George, Gordo, and Rich, have been around for these three non-losses, two wins and a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, you've turned into such a solid second baseman.
Thank you.
You had a bunch
Gold
of chances love. Last night. And in fact,
Ryan Sandberg-like.
Team Musers did not commit one error.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
How
unbelievable is
that? About that, America?
Hey, hey.
So we put 12 runs on the board. Our pitching was phenomenal, and our defense was flawless. It was as perfect a game, and it was the most satisfying team victory I've ever been a part of.
Yeah. I was so focused on, number one, wanted to win just out of pride and all the trash talking. But secondly, the last thing in the world, I'm goofy looking enough as it is, I cannot wear a mustache. I just can't.
It was a driving force.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That was, even when we got up 10-0, I was like, we cannot let them come back again. I cannot wear a mustache. Mm-hmm. Just can't happen.
One injury update, Gordo. You had a wipeout at second when you tried to steal.
Oh my God.
And you landed
Horrible.
On your fist.
Horrible.
You fisted
yourself.
Why does this always come up when Saroy's around?
He loves it. Look at him.
I do love it.
And he... You should not talk like that.
Did you hear about his cover band?
What?
Fister Pussycat? Have you seen this?
Whoa.
Seriously?
Yes.
You should hear how he talks in front of his wife about this subject.
She had a sign that said, Fist him, Saroy.
His wife is really good looking, by the way. Very nice.
Dude, she's full throttle.
And she is, boy.
I experienced her tongue in my mouth last night.
Don't say that about his wife.
It was a joke. We were just playing around, doing bar tricks.
All right, so what happened? You were the only guy that tried to steal,
yeah,
right?
I thought,
because
we
had a new rule last night where you couldn't lead off until the pitcher released the ball just to try to calm down the chaos on the base paths.
And I wanted to, you know, create a little excitement, try the first steal of the game. And my problem was I should have done it on Groobs instead of do it on Newberry.
Yeah.
Which he threw an absolute strike to Dan McDowell at second base. So I'm approaching second base, and I'm standing up, you know, running to second base. I didn't try to dive or anything like that. Dan McDowell catches it, tags me right in the belly. Then that threw me off a little bit, and then I go head first in a Pete Rose-type dive after I'd been tagged out. Yeah, very ill-advised. Lost balance, and then just started rolling. So I stopped, dropped, and rolled like there was a fire in the place.
You almost made it all the way to the grass, I think, in left field.
Well, yeah, I think I ended up in center field somewhere.
I want to see a slow-motion replay of that.
So do I.
Strangest-looking thing I've ever seen.
Gordon's base running is very interesting all the way around because we noticed in his last at-bat, you got on safe at first, maybe on a fielder's choice or something, but you about pulled a hamstring trying to stop dead on first base. And I was like, does he know he can run through that base? Perfectly legal.
Yeah, you can go past them.
Yeah, somebody else mentioned that to me.
He was scared about
it. It didn't bother me to not run through on that.
But you looked like you were going to hurt yourself when you did that.
No, my rib was hurting me so bad I wanted to stop running as quickly as I possibly could.
So this morning it hurts like if you laugh
or cough? Yeah, so what happened on that stealing second thing when I fell onto the dirt, I landed all my weight. My wrist was kind of up by my ribs, and I fell all my weight on that wrist. And so I fisted my ribs.
Wow!
And it feels like I either broke it or torn some cartilage or just badly bruised. And I'm hoping it's just badly bruised.
But you know what? It was worth it, wasn't it? A 12-3 win
and for the last.
No, not really. No,
because it wasn't safe.
You bet it was. For the last we got out of that,
it was great for the last.
Yeah,
that was fun. And hey, I want to protest one of my own team members, Steve Cactus Pryor, who is the worst third base coach ever.
He never gave a clear signal as to what.
No, and that's why I was thrown out at home because I'm running towards third, looking at him, going, "What's the signal? Do I go? Do I stop at third? What am I supposed to do?"
And right after you rounded third, the shortstop had the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
And Steve is supposed to watch that for me because my back's to the action, and he's telling me to go on to home. In a very non-committal way, though. I couldn't tell what the hand motion was doing.
He wanted to tell you a story before you went to home.
You can go.
You might go on to home, but let me tell you why. Where the ball is on the field right now.
You're going to be out.
I've got to make a decision here.
Usually the third base coach is doing like a big windmill if you're supposed to be going. Right. Or they got a big stop sign up.
But I couldn't tell what he was doing.
He was
like
casually
making little small motions like he's a high roller at an auction, like an art auction guy.
When I rounded third that one time and scored, he was reading the lineup card when I went around third.
The worst third base coach of all time.
Hey, props to Mike Soroy, who's a real workhorse behind the plate on a hot night like that. He caught all six innings.
That's impressive.
And caught two really good pitchers. Groobs, on the other hand, Dan McDowell made him work so hard with all the wild pitches, and Groobs kept having to run back to the backstop because runners were advancing on base all the time, that they had to make not a pitching change, but a catching change in the second inning. And a 3-1 count.
They couldn't even wait till the end of the batter.
Can we just get this guy out, maybe? Right.
Did you see the look on Groobs' face when he was taking his gear off?
No,
he was
exhausted.
Horrible. He was scared.
And so it was such an odd moment on the broadcast, too, when Norm's going, "All right, so they're going to make a pitching change here. Going after the man."
Wait.
No, they're making a catching change.
Such a ridiculous baseball game.
And to make it even a longer night for Dan McDowell, one time at the plate, Sean Bass hit him in the helmet. He plunked him. It wasn't a purpose pitch or anything. It was an accident.
Or was it?
Maybe it was for all the trash talking.
Yeah.
But he got beaned, and as Norm said on the broadcast, it was very funny. He said, Dan McDowell is hit. And please note that neither dugout has emptied. So all in all, it was just a wonderful night, and it was great to be a part of that. Our team was so great. We had so much fun in the clubhouse before and after and on the field and in the dugout. It was a great atmosphere. Every one of those guys, I'll remember every one of them for the rest of my life.
Huh? Very much like Team USA in 1980. Very much like that.
And thank you to all the P1s who came out. The Rough Riders estimated the attendance last night at about, 4,500, like that?
Yeah, over 4,000.
Over 4,000. So lots of great P1s. Very nice. Funny signs. Friendly people. And
have an Paul in the sign.
And lots of them came over to the third base sports bar afterwards for the after party, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not done.
We are not done.
There is a bet to be paid. And coming up next, we're going to tell you which mustaches we put on the mustache wheel. We're going to spin it and see who gets to wear which mustache. That's next.
The Ticket.